Today on the Rights and Wrongs podcast, we'll be adding a voice that is often overlooked in the issues of the U.S. military, this being the military spouses. Today I am joined by a veteran who himself is now a military spouse being married to an active duty Marine. We'll be talking about the ordeals and obstacles that military families face on a daily basis, along with a little advice for those who are looking to marry someone in the military or those already married to a military service member. I hope you enjoy today's episode of the Rights and Wrongs podcast. Welcome to the Rights and Wrongs podcast, a podcast where we talk about rights, privileges, and misconceptions. Today, I'm joined by Daniel Coroner. We're going to talk about the perspectives of being a military spouse. Before we get started, I did want everyone to remember it is the holiday season. A lot of U.S. military, NATO military personnel can't be with their family, so please keep them in your hearts and thoughts. Also, remember, it's a hard time for refugees and immigrants and everything else going on because they are away from their families, but also with COVID, we have a lot more challenges. With that being said, though, I will let Daniel introduce himself, and then we'll get going. So, do you want to go, Daniel?
Yes, sir. My name is Daniel, of course, Kerner. I am from Baltimore, Maryland. I'm 29 years old, about to hit that 30. I'm looking forward to that. I currently live in South Carolina, though, on Parris Island with my wife, Alexis Blankenship. She hasn't changed her name to a Kerner in the military, that is, but legally, yes. That's about me, though. I'm not really doing much. I work private security, been in the Air Force for 6 years and got out to be with her because the challenges of being in different branches was a little too complicated and long distance was not working out. But yeah, now we're here and we're hopefully going to Oki for our next duty station. And hopefully that will probably be in a couple of months, hopefully.
That sounds exciting. So yeah, like I know you through your wife because me and her were both at MWSS 271 when she was a cook, and I'm assuming she's going to stay with that MOS, or is she, you know, she's doing a lat move or anything?
No, I think she's staying because what's that for you guys in the Marine Corps? Is it a staff sergeant course?
Or oh yeah, like staff sergeant. Yeah. So yeah, MOS? So she can become a gunnery sergeant. So
yeah. She has that in January, I think. She's going to Virginia.
So for those that don't pick up, the reason I'm asking if she's staying in her MOS, your wife is currently right now a warrior mother, as I guess, like as a drill instructor.
Oh, yeah. Never home. Stressed out. It's been a challenge for the first month, I would say. First two cycles of her DI career was very stressful. That's how you kind of get in the groove. You know what to expect. If she's having a bad day, you just leave the wine on the table and leave the room.
I wonder, she's a senior though right now, right? Like with anyone that's not familiar with military terms, a senior is the head drill instructor. That's the reason I called her warrior mother, because we'd always call like ours like Marine dad, because he's the person that when the other drill instructors are getting a little too angry at you because you made mistakes, like he's the one or she's the one to like pull the other drill instructors back.
The father or the dad, the mother.
Yeah. Has like that made life a little bit easier on stuff? You don't have to. Sorry, that's a personal question.
Yeah, it has. Then she's also learning how to be a senior still. I mean, this is her second cycle as a senior, and this one was a little bit more crazier than the last one.
That is a job I'm not sure I could ever do. Like that is. So, and it's interesting though, because when people think of military spouses, they don't are thinking traditional military. They're not even expecting the extra addition of being having your spouse as a senior, as a drill instructor or a senior drill instructor or technical instructors that we guys call them in the Air Force.
TI, technical instructor.
But the other thing is that you are a minority of a minority of a minority of a demographic because you are a veteran yourself and you're a male spouse.
Oh, not that many of us.
So this is, it's going to sound strange, but like, did you find being a military husband, do you find that there's more challenges or is there like less groups and stuff for you?
Well, mostly all the groups are female, so they don't believe you that you're a spouse. So on Facebook, I tried joining one. They're like, are you a spouse? And I was like, yes. And they're like, but you're a male. I was like, yeah, well, I'm still married to a female military member, so that makes me a spouse, right? I had to prove myself to even just join that group. I mean, it was kind of embarrassing, but I was like, I definitely am part of this demographic. And then I went to one of them in person for military spouses, and I was the only male. And they were all surprised that I showed up.
You have to show your military ID to show that you were dependent?
Basically, yes. So like, aren't you, are you her friend? I was like, no, I'm a spouse. They're like, wow, they never knew that we exist, basically. They're like, we're so happy to have you. You'd be the first one.
Which also, like, makes me kind of, like, concerned for the future, because you and I were both in when they got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And for anyone that's not familiar with military terms, Don't Ask, Don't Tell means it used to be, like, we couldn't ask a fellow service member if they were anything other than heterosexual, and they couldn't tell us. And if they did, like, it would be an instant kick out of the military, which thankfully we got rid of that in, like, 2014. But it was 2014 or 2013. It was around that time.
I know I was in.
It might have been 2012. I'll look it up. But it's gone. But the thing was, is, like, it wasn't interesting. Then this could be a whole other episode talking about, like, how it was easier for females of the demographic to come out because they were more accepted by the group. But, like, I don't remember a single male in any of my units coming out. But it's interesting you talk about, like, that being a male, because the military's finally starting to accept and give benefits to same-sex married couples. So in the future, there probably will be more male. Just basically based upon that, and also women are rising in the military. Like, the truth is, like, I think they're around, like, 11% across the military, women compared to men.
Female?
Yeah. It's a small portion.
Many. So, you see about 1 out of 10.
But I think it's also this thing that people get surprised, though, is most, in my experience, and, like, I'm just talking from experience, most female military personnel are married to male military personnel. So that's probably another reason why it's, because technically now you're a civilian.
Yeah, they don't really see me, like, spouse. Which is, I mean, it's fine. I mean, I have no problem with it, but once you explain it, they're like, oh, okay.
So one thing I was going to ask is, you've had both perspectives. You've been on the military active duty side yourself, and now you're a spouse. Is there any misconceptions or, like, things you never conceived of while you were active when you were looking at spouses and dependents?
It's like, you'd see them with my friends when I was in. Their spouses never had a job. I thought it was weird, but they had children, so that's something we don't have. I can understand that being home and taking care of your children while your husband basically just goes to work every day, it made more sense for them to stay home with the kid. There were ones that were really good spouses. I mean, took care of the house. They had a job as well. I never had a problem with any of, like, dependent autonomous, that whole phrase that people brought up when I was in. I was getting out, too. They're like, oh, we're going to be a dependent autonomous. I was like, well, I'm pretty skinny as a person, but I was like, no, I'm going to continue doing my thing.
Which, and it's really strange, too, because we threw that term around a lot, because Marines are just colorful with our language is the nicest probably way to say it. But for those that don't understand, the dependopotamus is a derogatory term towards a spouse, because the military term for spouse or child is a dependent, because they're dependent upon you. The U.S. military is kind of regressive when it comes to a lot of views, because it's like, as you said, the man goes to work, the woman stays at home, takes care of the kids. And then, like, there's always this idea you get married and the woman gets bigger, and it's a very sexist kind of thing. Or, and, like, it's just, there's some weird, like, but it was a term that was thrown around. But it is also interesting that you talk about, like, how people don't get jobs, but it's also, like, you're fortunate enough to work in the same industry that I used to work in, which is contract security, it sounds like, which is pretty much a very, wherever you move, you're going to be able to find work.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, like, if I can't find work this and I have to go back to the States, I'll probably end up going back to security, just because people always need security guards. But if someone wants an actual career, though, like, the thing that's also stinks, because, like, right now you're going to move to Okinawa. Like, you don't get to choose where you go. She can request a place to go. But imagine trying to hold down an actual career in that position. Like, with internet and stuff, it's easier now, but traditionally.
That's what concerned me. I tried looking up. I was going to start. Well, I did start. I kind of stopped halfway through. I was doing a computer science degree. The way I can work from home. If I could find a career like that. So, no matter where we went, I would have a job. As long as we have internet.
So yeah, so even you're being struggled by that whole entire situation. But yeah, sorry, I got whole entire caught up on the whole entire idea of dependopotamus, and, like, that's a word I haven't heard in a while. Is there any other words like that? Because that's one of the main missions of the Rights and Wrongs podcast, is, like, we try to get rid of misconceptions, and, like, I think we kind of broke one where people think military spouses are lazy, and it's like, they're really not. It's just, they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And
what they call them, you still see it now, is they do it for the TRICARE. You had me at TRICARE, or they think that spouses only want to get married just for the benefits and the TRICARE or healthcare.
Oh, you're talking about, like, tag chasing?
Yeah, so, like, when you're still in MOS training, or you're still right at the basic, and you get married to your high school sweetheart, and they're like, why would you do that? And that's what I did. I choose my high school sweetheart.
But you guys waited a few years, though, as well, though. Like, some people got married. This is like an actual thing. So when we're talking about the TRICARE marriages and like tag chasing, they're in the military, especially the Marine Corps. We're the worst one about this. You guys can at least get out of the barracks once you hit like E4. We're stuck there till like staff sergeant. Like, it's either get married or get promoted to staff sergeant. You're stuck in the barracks. So a lot of people get tired of living in the barracks because it's like you're basically living in a dorm room for like 6 years and you just want a place of your own. You want to be able to do things of your own. And the only real way to get out of it is to get married, and then you get housing allowance, and then you get all this other stuff. And it's also, being in the military is lonely, so people want to get married because they want their girlfriend or high school sweetheart with them.
Yeah.
But they don't educate people a lot. Like, I feel like you probably were in a better position than many because you were in the military, so you knew what to expect, what's going in there.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of spouses probably... but a lot of spouses don't, because, like, you'll be taking people from New York City or Chicago or California, and then you get stuck in Jacksonville, North Carolina, which is...
Or the opposite, bringing a country girl or a country person to a city life. And it's just picking them up from their comfortable, something they're used to, and then moving to something completely different. And they're like, okay, now you have to figure out your whole new life. You got new friends.
It's true. And it's like, and it's also like when you think you look at what you're talking about, like the whole entire tag chaser, which a tag chaser is a term for someone that chases after someone in the military for the dependent, for like the benefits. But when you think about places like, I'm not sure about the Air Force base that you were at, but like Jacksonville and like Havelock, these are military based towns. You take away the military base, that city disappears. So for a lot of like these young women and possibly men, like the best benefit they have for life is to marry someone in the military, because it's like, as soon as you do that, okay, you now have housing. You now have health insurance. Like, the best health insurance you can get in the United States is TRICARE. And you get all stuff, and it's like, it's kind of a survival tactic. And it's just because in some of these places, there is nothing else. Like, that's seen as the only way out. And that's not really spoken about. And like, the military complains about it, but they don't really do much a lot of times to help the situation. They kind of create this. I'm not sure if you heard in the Air Force and the Marine Corps, they'd always say if the Marine Corps wanted you to have a wife, they would issue you one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going down a whole nother social.
Yeah. I think Alexa said that before. As a joke, though. She was kidding.
Are you sure she was kidding?
I think it was after the first cycle of DI. It was rough for her. I mean, I can't imagine. Since I know, I've been through boot camp, to Air Force boot camp. So it's not even half of what she has to do. When she tells me what she does as a DI, I'm like, I only had one DI for... I think there's 80 of us.
Really? We had four for 90 of us.
And we have two different bays. So if the TI or DI is on one side, he can't see you. So if he's yelling at that side to do push-ups and not do push-ups, and he can't see you, so what's really stopping you from not doing the push-ups? You just don't do it until you hear him.
That's a total different world. We had four drill instructors in one bay. You couldn't twitch your nose without them seeing.
So we had a sister flight, which had a TI to 80. It was a female flight, too, and that was our sister flight. And he was a male TI with a female platoon, which is... That's what I was like, when she said that here, I was like, they don't do that here? She's like, no, I mean, males and males, females and females.
Yeah, like, the thing also is, like, anyone's not familiar, like, there's how many different boot camps for the Air Force? I think there's, like, 6 or 7 or something like that.
I think it's just San Antonio, Texas.
That's the only one? Because I know the Navy's only based out of, like, Chicago, Illinois area. The Army has a few, because, like, every National Guard unit also has their own. The Marine Corps only has two. You have San Diego and you have Paris Island. So I went to Paris Island because I'm from the east of the Mississippi. Anyone west of the Mississippi, which is that big giant river in America, for people that don't know, go to California. But all female recruits go to Paris Island.
Yeah, they're starting to intertwine it, though, as you said. I mean, they're starting to bring co-training, or males and females will train together now.
Which I think is a good thing. Like, they've been trying to get the PT tests to be equal, like, even back when I was still in, they were trying to work with that. And it's just this, you get back to the whole thing about equality in the military, and it's just like, I'm all for equality in the military, but there also are still some physical restrictions. And that's on both sides, though. Like, I was talking about this on the feminist episode, when we fixed our vests and stuff in the military, the vests were better for the women, which was fine, because like, oh, like their thing, but like, they can carry more. Because their legs are stronger than ours. They are. Like, women's legs are stronger than men's. So, like, that's an advantage. Like, so we shouldn't be, looking at the fact that, like, oh, men could do more pull-ups. Like, yeah, that's what our, like, there's a weird genetic component. And like, I always feel uncomfortable talking about that when it comes to military issues, because people are like, oh, you're being sexist. Like, no, I know some women in the military that can kick my ass. Like, there are some, like, if they can do more push-ups, more pull-ups and stuff like that, but there are some other components that have to go. And like, it's also interesting too, because it's like psychological, but that also can be more of nurture than nature. But like, there's, that's a whole other episode. I don't want to get too deep into that because someone's going to get pissed at me, but it's just like,
I think the Air Force made it PT test. How do you say it? So each MOS has a different PT test.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if they passed it, but I saw something about it where we have to do more, as my MOS was MP, you would do more, as some say, someone as in IT department. He doesn't do that much.
I think that wouldn't fly in the Marine Corps, though, because that's everyone's infantry, technically.
Infantry, yep.
So like, it doesn't matter if you're a cook or an electrical engineer, you're supposed to be able to shoot, and you're supposed to be able to run, and you're supposed to be able to hit stuff, eat a full box of 64 cryons in a second.
Have you seen there? I told my wife the Air Force PT test, and she gets so upset.
Well, you guys do for a PT test, if I'm not mistaken. That's just like morning run for us. Like, that's just it's what a we warm do. Up. Yeah.
It really is. I think it was 42 sit ups, 30 something push ups, 35, 37, and then a mile and a half run. This is when I was in. I think it's lower now, to be honest.
So, I don't want to get too much into that because, like, this is supposed to be a special episode, but do you find being from the Air Force as a spouse on a Marine Corps base causes things? Because you would think being a veteran would make life easier for you as a spouse, but we're not always nice to our Air Force brothers and sisters in the Corps.
I never had a run-in with anything bad. Most of her friends that she's met in DI school, the males, they seem pretty cool about it. They don't ever make fun of me at all, which is weird. Even though if I bring it up, they're like, oh, that's fine. Even at the Marine Corps balls, they don't really say anything. They don't, yeah, it's been rather good, especially here.
That is actually really, that makes me happy. Like, that makes that people aren't. I have heard, though, that you've had some issues of being on a military base in the Marines. Something about us running in the street.
When you guys PT, you just run in the street. They don't. There is a track that's made for running. It has the ground is specially made for running, so it gives you less, resistance when you run on your feet. So it's better for you. Run on the track. Nope. Right down the road, headphones in, and look at you like you're in wrong. I'll hit somebody. I mean, I don't mean to, but. And then here they have the gun range right down the road. We hear that every day. They're not supposed to be marching past our housing development, but they do.
I think I know exactly where you're living. So if I'm not mistaken, if you, right before you go to the main road, to the right is going to be a playground with a school. To the right is the gun range down that way. If you go down left, it'll be headed towards the PX.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, Wake Village. Yeah, I've marched past your housing development. I think like 20 times when I was a recruit.
I'm not supposed to. They're allowed to march, but they can't yell. But they do it all the time.
So. Yeah. Like, no, I just remember we marched. Like, I've been past that so many. I don't think we were allowed to. I think that we were told to, like, shut up when we went past here.
They do it now. 4:30 in the morning. You can hear them. Doing their little cadence.
So one thing I was going to ask, though, is for any potential young suitors or, like, engaged couples getting ready for the military, regardless of branch, do you have any advice for them? Things that you wish you knew, or things that you wish they would teach your peers and stuff like that, or misconceptions that people think they say something that's just not true at all?
Well, for here, they told us the misconception was surviving the island together. Most people that come here as a couple don't make it out. Most marriages.
Yeah, that's I think the Marine Corps itself has like one of the highest divorce ratings.
As like service members? So, like, if you're...
Well, I think, like, across the board, across, like, the other branches, I think the Marine Corps has the highest divorce rating. Like, it's, like, if you make it past the first, like, 7 years, your chances are great. But, like, if you can make it to 2 enlistments, you're fine. But, like, that first enlistment is... But
I think it'll change you.
And I think it's just different because I think it goes a lot what you and I were talking about, where, like, people get married way too young.
You're not fully grown. You don't really know what... Your personality is definitely going to change. If you're 17, you're going to be a different person, completely different. I've changed completely from when I was young. When I first joined, I was politically everything was one way, and now I'm completely to the other side.
And it's weird because you try to like adapt to survive, so you're adapting to your surroundings. And I've talked about this with other people, and it is very interesting because I come from a very democratic, liberal area. Boston's one of the most progressive areas in the U.S., which is funny because it's still conservative by European standards. But I remember, like, going into the military, I was very liberal and had these beliefs. Then I got out of the Marine Corps, and I'm like, I have to be a Republican. I have to own a gun, buy a pickup truck. And it is realized, it took me a few years to realize, like, that's not me. Like, I love Bernie Sanders. I'm happy with a RAV4. Like, there's...
I still like guns, but I don't have to be Republican. Just, like, you know, it's very bad.
But no, that is true. It's like, you do grow when you, like you're saying, like, there's a weird political change coming to and from and out of the military that I don't think is ever really addressed.
Oh, no. When you're young, too, especially how you're raised is a big thing, too. But as a military, if you're coming in, if you're both a couple in the military, you might want to make, you have to make it known to each branch, if you're different branches, that you're married, because if they don't know, they're not going to try to put you in the same bases or close to each other.
Yeah, so that must have been, that's another good point, is you guys got married while you were still active Air Force, and she was active Marine. I remember her, like, she was like, I remember I was talking to her one time, I think me and her were going to breakfast, and she's like, oh, I'm leaving for leave. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Like, got any big plans? Like, oh, I'm getting married. Okay.
Well, October, 2014. And we had to take leave. Like, so we got engaged, and then we went back to work for, like, 6 months. Still long distance the whole time.
That must have been, like, a pain and torture, but at least you guys took the time. I know a lot of, like, my friends, they got engaged while they're in, but they didn't get married till they were out, which is, like, it's an interesting way of looking at it. What was the process like that, being from, like, different branches? Like, I know, I remember her saying something about her, you guys trying to find a base where she could transfer to, like, a Marine Wing Support Squadron or, like, a Marine Wing unit on an Air Force base, or, like, you being attached to an Air Force unit on, like, a Marine or Naval station.
It was difficult because her MOS was, I think Cherry Point was the lowest she can go south.
Really?
I believe. Yeah, she said her MOS, there was nothing for her below. She could go up north more. For me, I couldn't because it had a top secret base. What is it? It's in Maryland. Andrews Air Force Base, you have to get approved through a certain board because their president's always there, and you have to go do extra background checks to even get stationed there. Or no, you had to be E5 or above. I remember that, to get transferred there.
Man, that just makes life so much more difficult. Because you wouldn't think with the job of being a cook, being limited like that, but it's probably like the other chow halls are probably controlled by the Navy or the Air Force. So they're not going to just like let civilians. A Marine come in or civilian. Oh, that's right. Your guys' chow halls are controlled by like a lot of civilians. Like,
yeah, mine was. It was perfect. I mean, the best chow hall. And you can get some amazing food. They're always nice to you. I don't know if Marines are used to this, but they're really nice.
I've heard stories of Marines getting confused because they'll go to an Air Force chow hall and like we pick up our trays and we bring them to the galley. And like used to be the duty of like any Marine that was in trouble. Like you're either peeling potatoes or like the joke of cleaning in the galley, but we pick up our trays and bring it to the galley. I know guys that got like went to like Air Force chow halls and like they walked around for like 5 minutes trying to find the galley, and when it smells like, what are you doing? It's like, we're trying to figure out what to put the trays. Like, oh, just leave them on the table. Like, yeah, what? Leave them on the
table. That's someone's job to come and pick them up. And I was like, wow, this is, you just eat and leave, you don't have to. When we got there, the new president or new manager or the owner of the chow hall, he stopped us and he said, if anything you ever want food wise, let him know, he'll make it work. Like, what? Like, anything? Can we get steak and lobster? He's like, yeah. Never happened.
That's just crazy. Like, it's just weird that we're going back to like those things. I did want to ask though, with the holidays coming up, what is it like being on a military base as like during the holiday season? I'm sure the recruits are all in bloom where you're at, and they're all happy because they don't get yelled at for a day.
They shouldn't be. But it's funny, I just go to work. If she won't be home this holiday season, I don't think. She might be home for like one of the days, probably Christmas Eve, I think she's home. But we just decorate the house and put a tree up, and we buy a couple gifts, and that's about it, honestly, for us.
So I know you guys don't have kids, but do you know like what they do for the kids on the base or for those?
A couple. When did we go to? We went out for dinner, and we were leaving, and they had the fire department and the police with the Santa Claus on the train for the fire truck. That was the only thing I've seen. I know they have a lot of programs here on Paris Island, but we don't actually do any of those for like families, because she's always at work. So there's no point. It's just me going. They do actually have a lot here. When you leave Paris Island, they have a little LCD screen, LCD TV, tells you what's going on base, any upcoming events.
Yeah, because I remember that. Like, we always had those mandatory fund functions where, like, we would be we did it all the time for our unit. So, like, for the family, like, family fun days where, like, we'd set up bouncy houses and, like, pie in the face and, like, fundraise and stuff like that for, like, you pay a couple, like you pay $5, you could throw a pie in your commander's face. Like,
oh, wow, well, I would.
Who's gonna pass that up?
I would do that. I don't know.
Deny my leave, sir.
I work nights too, so I don't really see much. I'm usually asleep during the day. But with COVID, they really stopped a lot of things. We're bringing stuff back slowly. They posted on their webpage. But yeah, COVID kind of ruined a lot.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask about that. Is like, how is COVID affecting military?
Rhode Island's been weird.
It has?
Rhode Island, when they first started, they had windows up only. So you had to put your ID up to your window or to scan it. And then they went windows down. But when they went windows down, the gate guard stopped wearing face masks. So I was like, you wear a face mask when the windows are up, but now they're down, you don't wear. I don't know who's in charge of that, but they messed up.
Yeah.
I look back to wearing face masks now.
No, that's just strange. I think it's
with the cases.
And again, it also just makes me like nervous, because I'm sure you heard about, like, I don't think the Marine Corps followed this, but like the Navy for a while was no longer reporting COVID cases on naval bases. You heard about that, right?
No, I didn't know.
Oh, that was like following, like, you remember the captain that like got relieved of his ship?
That was crazy.
Yeah, like, so anyone's not listening, there was a case on a naval ship. Like, the ship was, like, out in the Atlantic, I want to say, or was it Pacific? I just know it was out away from... It was out somewhere. It was out with a drink, and they had a positive case of COVID, and then the commander, like, the captain of the ship, was given orders from NAVSEC, which is the Secretary of Navy, or SECNAV, and they basically said, like, do not report, don't tell your crew members, the people on your ship, that this person has COVID and just treat it as normal. He's like, I'm not doing that because, like, you're going to, we're literally, you have close to 1,000 people in a metal tube. I'm going to, like, isolate them and tell them.
But then you can't be mission ready with our whole crew out.
Yeah, and that was the whole other thing is just, like, so he told him, like, because he defied orders, he got relieved of command. And then, like, shortly after that, like, COVID cases on, like, naval bases were, if I'm understanding and remember correctly, were, like, jumping. And then, like, the Secretary of Navy's like, we're no longer going to release this information. But then they called all the naval personnel back onto base. And it's just like, so it's just, it makes me worried because it's not even just the military personnel. You're talking about families. Like, that you'd be affected by that order because the Marine Corps still, loosely, I think, still answers to the Navy. Like, there's a weird connection there. Like, we're more autonomous than we have been in the past, but we're still answerable to the Navy. I wasn't sure if, like, you've heard anything about that or if there's any been... I'm not trying to, like, throw conspiracy theories or, like, stuff. It's just stuff you can read on the news.
Well, I read that when he got fired. I was pretty upset because if everybody on the ship gets sick, how is your mission going to be able to be completed?
Yeah, and then, like, it's also...
MPs going all down.
Well, it's also, like, I was thinking about that is, like, then, like, when they did that, they had, like, the proper thing to do would put the entire ship on lockdown because you don't know who's sick. That's what you wanted. You put the entire ship on lockdown. But now, if, like, it spreads too much, like, and he also wanted to return, too, because it's, like, if we're on this mission and all this stuff, then we come back and, like, everyone's going to be locked down in quarantine for 2 weeks. Like, you're already away from your families because some of those naval missions can last for, like, months, like, close to a year or over a year. Like, I know marine expeditionary units that can last up to, like, 18 months, and, like, majority of the people there are sailors.
Do they have equipment to even handle someone with COVID? If they have, they need, like, a lung or respirator, do you have enough? And if someone dies, if my wife died on a ship because they don't want to return, I'd be pretty upset.
Yeah, like, these are some issues. Like, other stuff, you also had the case where, like, you had the misconduct that happened on 29 Palms. Like the Naval Hospital did some misconduct and a young Marine died. But because how orders are, you can't even sue the military for malpractice. Mm-hmm. It sounds like we're going on a weird tangent right now, but, like, for people, like, if you're looking to get married in the family and, like, you have things, like, we're not trying to scare you, but this is the truth of the military. Like, you're no longer owned. I'm no longer owned by the military, but, like, your wife is owned by the military. Like, the government owns her, which is
what we joke about. What do you guys have, the $400,000 if she passes away?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, I get $400,000. So she's like, she took one out on me. It was like, only $100,000. I was like, that's nothing.
Oh, but no, it's a... But it also is a weird thing to think about, like, when it comes to, like, spouses and stuff like that, of, like, how much money is enough when you lose the loved one.
Yeah, it's never enough.
Yeah. Like, there's no number you can put on it. And it's also, like, they do a lot for spouses. And I remember my parents were talking about this. And I'm sure your parents felt the same. They always pay attention to the children and they pay attention to the spouses. But they never really pay attention to the parents as much. I'm not sure if your parents had anything to say about, like, if you had any conversations with them about that.
Oh, no. Parents, we talk, but, you know, how do you describe it? He's not really a talkative person. I call him, he's like, that's about, that's all I get out of him.
But it is strange, though, because I'm just thinking even back on, like, the programs and stuff, that it's just, like, we were talking about this. I was 17 when I enlisted. I'm not sure how old you were.
17, yeah.
So it is kind of strange that we're talking about dependents and stuff like that and, like, family. So, but the military cares about spouses, but it's like, at 17, you're still a child. You're a baby. I'm sure you're looking at these recruits that are walking past you and you're just like,
good morning, sir. Get away.
But they probably look like,
DX and they're there.
But they're barely, like, out of high school, half of them. So it's.
And they marry somebody straight out of high school.
Oh, that's just 17.
A... 17, 17. Well, can you get married at 17?
Depends on the state.
No.
Massachusetts is, I think, the age of 17 with parental consent. Some states are as low as 15.
Yeah, but you can do that. You're still young, and then that's why most marriages I've seen it or happened before. My first roommate, he was married, I think, to his high school sweetheart. I can't remember, but they didn't make it. I could tell when I was living with them. She didn't want to work. Like, she made it a point she did not want to work. That's not all spouses. I'm not trying to say, like, every spouse doesn't want to work. But her as an individual didn't want to.
No, and, like, that's a huge communication thing that you need to have with people. Like, because I'm pushing the same age. I think you're a year older than me. I'm about to turn 29 at the end of this month. I'm not ready to get married yet. And people go look at this, and it's just, like... But, like, I have friends that have been married for 10 years and have kids that are, like, 10. And it's, like, it works for them. But you have to remember what you want. But it's also, like, I'm one of those people that, like, I could never... And this isn't this isn't anything on a woman that wants to be a housewife or a housewife. Like, that's fine. If that's what you want to be, like, that's you. Like, that's feminism. You get to choose what you want to be. Like, I don't get to tell you what to do. But for me, it's just like, I would rather be with someone that has their own career. It has their own thing. Like, I do my thing, you do your thing. And, but these are, like, these are tools, and you have to date for a while to learn what you want. Like, I didn't know what, like, like I said, I'm 29 years old and I don't know the woman that I'm going to marry. I certainly didn't know at 17. Like,
we started dating, I think a couple of years, I kind of knew. I don't remember how, oh man, that's how old I am. I could just think back when we first started dating in high school, and then she said she's going to Marine Corps. I was like, I am not doing that. Couldn't go the easy route here. A mile and a half run. I was like, that's, you're just 3 miles? I was like, no, I don't want that in my life. You have 2 PT tests? 2?
Well, there's a CFT and a PFT.
No.
You have to throw grenades and pick up your buddy and drag them across the ground and pick up ammo cans and push them up there and give them to God. Like, come on, it's fun.
I'll do that.
Die till you keep running till you puke.
I did that. We didn't even do that in boot camp. I think I'm going to do that every year.
Well, it's every 6 months, yeah, because you do one in the summer and one, one in the spring and one in the summer. Or one of the,
that's horrible.
It's fun.
Like, I could not. That's why I went Air Force. I was like, we get one a year. That's if you get a 90 or above, then you do it once a year. If you get 90 or below, you do it every 6 months. Well, with COVID, they lowered a lot. They just passed a new rule, no waist measurement, which means to test your waist, and then no PT test until 2021.
Yeah, and that's, like, a thing I'm also kind of wondering, though, too, is, like, health of being a spouse, though, must be, like, trying to maintain the mental and physical health of your spouse, though. Because, like, I'm just thinking I'm sure, like, as you said, like, there's certain days that you just, like, you put the wine on the table and you just, like, here and just walk away. But, but no, I'm sure, like, you make dinners and stuff like that and just, like, to make sure she eats. And
I do a lot. Whenever she needs me, I'm always there. She texts me. I give her massages, like, rub her back, her feet.
So it's kind of funny that you say that, because she also messaged me as soon as we found out this, and she wanted me to let you know that she wanted the world to know that how much she appreciates everything you've done for her this past few years, because it's been a very, very rough time for her, and she wanted me to tell you how much that she loves you. So I'm just going to put you on. She should. I can't remember the exact words, but, like, she told me about, like, a lot of the stuff that I'm not going to go into some of the stuff, but no, she really does appreciate and wanted me to make sure that you know how much everything you've done is.
Oh, it's been hard. The first guy here, she's like, you need to start cleaning more. I was like, huh? Like, her cleaning, how you say?
Field day? Standards.
Yeah.
Does she come back with a white glove?
The first weeks here together, yeah, she was like, this is dirty. I was like, it ain't that bad.
The point you said that bad, that just tells you. You signed your own death warrant on that.
But now she's more like, I work and I try to take care of the house. Sometimes I forget things or let things go, I guess. Kind of like, just ignore it. Like, oh, it's this guest bedroom. Like, I got more important things to worry about right now than trying to fix this guest bedroom. Clean it up. I need to start getting back into it, though. Because she's about to be at the end of the cycle, so.
Oh, I gotta start cleaning everything. But it sounds like you...
Moving. We never moved together either. It'll be our first move together.
Ooh, that's gonna be...
I never experienced it, though. I mean, I experienced when I got out, and that move, when you're PCS... No, I'm not PCSing. I am...
You're luggage. Getting out.
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point, you're luggage.
You just tell them where you want it to be sent. That's all you do. Tell you, this is where I want my stuff to be sent. They came to my roommate's, my place, and packed it all up. I don't know how they're going to do it here, or how the Marine Corps even operate.
I think it's similar, because I had to do the same thing. They crated up my motorcycle, they crated up, like, a lot of stuff, and they shipped it up to Boston. So it should be, I've never done it, because, like, I never lived in a house. Like, I was a barracks rat the entire 4 years I was in and happy doing so. But no, that's actually a really good point too, that like a lot of people don't realize, is that like if you're gonna get married, like if you're moving a lot, like every 4 years you're going to move.
Yep.
So like I'm sure you guys even like, there's a whole other argument with people like, oh, should you buy a house or thing? It's like, I know people that bought houses and it's fine, because like, if you're in certain MOSs where you're only going to be in a limited area, buy. Yeah. Or you're coming to the end of your career, buy. But other than that, like, so how's your experience with military housing though?
Well, it's been great until about recently, which is pretty funny. About 2 months ago, they have the broken dishwasher, and part of the housing is theirs, not ours. So they're supposed to fix it when it breaks. No, it's been 3 months now, and they still have not fixed it. AC though, they fixed that right away, which is great. For breaks, I've heard it can be bad, but our housing basically just never calls us or never complains about us, because we've done some stupid things. Like we left up our Christmas decorations for a whole year. You're not supposed to do that.
Hey, if you feel like being Christmassy all year round, just basically
no, they have to come down. I think a week. It says it in the guidelines. A week after or 2 weeks after, they have to come down, or if you get a violation. Wow. She does, not me. She does, and she's military. I can do it, and she gets in trouble, which is great.
That's another thing though people don't realize though, is as a spouse, your actions,
my actions, yeah,
reflect upon them. Like I've known the people have been NJP, which is non-judicial punished, like I've heard of it and seen it, for their spouse's actions.
Yep.
And like that's like one thing, if like anyone's like that's a strange power that you have over her right now.
Listen, honey, I'm gonna go to the BX and steal, and yeah, you're gonna get NJP if you don't do it. It's like, when did it happen? She told me not to speed on base, because if I get a ticket, it can reflect on her, because it'll go to her command. I was like, what? Because my ID says it.
Yeah.
Her name, everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird things. And like some of it's protection. I'm pretty sure like if you get injured, like the base has to know about a case, like if it was a case of domestic violence, because the Marine Corps does not look kindly on domestic violence, nor should it. But it does make things complicated that like someone breaks their leg just because they're being stupid. Like, those can be investigated, and I'm not exactly sure on the law, but like stuff like that is an actual thing. I'm just trying to remember, because it's just like, it is a very, being a spouse, like, I remember, like, do you feel like there's anything we haven't covered?
When we first got here, we decided upon ourselves to do marriage counseling to prepare ourselves for Paris Island.
Ooh, that's actually probably some really good advice. How did that go, if you don't mind me asking?
It went well. We didn't make it too far, because of course, Paris Island, or TI school, started up pretty quickly. The therapist was, how do you say, it wasn't really a lot of scheduling. She was pretty booked up. So, I mean, we had it for like once a month, and then boom, right into DI school. But it did help out. I mean, we got some things talked a little bit. She gave us a little bit of guidance and like stuff to read to help us out. But she said she's always there if we need anything, which is, so you have to do it. I think most spouses should do it. It might sound weird, and you don't think you need it, but even if you don't need it, good. It's going to be really helpful.
Well, yeah, because like I've never been married or never been married in the military, but it just like observations, which I know I'm not getting full pictures of like other friends that were married in the military. My civilian married friends don't go through a lot of the stuff that like military, like when it says for better or for worse, you're leaning on the worst more often than not, because you're dealing with deployment and stress, and military is not an easy job by definition. And like, you know how people say you're never supposed to bring work home, but like, you're living in her
Marine Corps loves to say that they're a part of the Marine Corps. Like, you went in the house, this is pictures of like, not her as much, but I went to a male's house, there's Marine Corps stuff everywhere.
I mean, like that
the logo, yeah, the logo is everywhere. The Eagle, Globe, and Anchor is like, you'll see cups, spoons, I mean, if you name it, they have a logo on it.
Yeah, and blanket. For my audio listeners, when I said like that, and they pointed behind me, I have a Marine Corps poster right behind me as he says that.
Like, God, you have to bring it to the house. It's in the house. I mean, you're living with it. I mean, it's not a problem here. We don't have that much. I look around. We have our picture from the Marine Corps ball. We don't really take pictures together.
I think that's the first time I actually to meet you was at the Marine Corps ball one time. Because I think you were wearing a suit. You weren't wearing
Was it a blue suit?
No, I think you were there one time, or I'm thinking someone else. I remember there was one time, and that this is one thing I do find interesting. I remember one Marine Corps ball. One of the Marines brought her civilian boyfriend, like her high school sweetheart, came to there, and it was like so strange for all us like male Marines who were like, "There's a civilian here, and it's a guy. We don't know." Like, everyone didn't know how to like everyone was like, "I don't know how to talk to him because it's just strange."
Is he going to be able to understand our like our lingo and how military people are just...
They're hard to relate to people that aren't in the military.
We're perverts. We're foul mouth. We have a thick sense of humor.
Yeah. No, it is like... There are some things, though, like, it sounds strange, too. It's just like... It makes you wonder, like, how, like, our spouses and girlfriends and boyfriends can handle us sometimes, because it took me years to re-civilianize. I think I've talked about that a few times on the podcast. It took me, like, 4 or 5 years to re-civilianize. And some vets never do it.
No, nope.
Like, they never go through it.
Supervisor at work, I used to be, he trained me at my job. He was Marine Corps 5 years. He did EI, and he is still in that mentality. He's 60-some years old, and he is still, I'm like, you, he was a reservist. So, I mean, 5 years, rest was just.
Hey, I don't get, like, the thing is, I did a year of reserve. I couldn't cut it as a reservist. I could not. Like, that's a weird, strange thing to talk about. It's like, you always make fun of reservists calling them weekend warriors and 1 weekend. That weekend was 5 days. 5 days is not a weekend. I'm sorry. And, like, the thing is like, and people go, like, oh, well, you're only working those 5 days then. It's like, no. There'd be days that, like, I would be doing a school project or in the middle of work, and the staff sergeant calls me, we need this report done. I need a full training outpatient of your entire squad. You, like, I can't, I think I had to dedicate, like, 1 to 2 days every week when I wasn't there. And I'm not talking, like, 1 or 2 days, doing, like, a full day of, like, 12 hours worth of work. Of calling people up, going over records. And then you have to balance your job and education and everything else in your life around that. Like, it's, reservists do not get the credit that they deserve. Like, I don't, like, I used to make fun of reservists too before I did it as a year. And it's just like, I couldn't make a year of it. And it just, because that, like, when you're, it sounds strange, but when you're active, like, I'm sure, like, you know, like, that's all your job is. You wake up at a certain time, you go run around in a circle, you do your job, go home and repeat. Like, it's, life is simple. It's stressful, but it's But no, it is a strange thing dealing with. It is a strange thing dealing with people that just, like, never get out of that mentality. And but how has been your experience with other spouses? Has it been, like, positive, or besides, like, them not believing that you're a spouse?
Not too bad. I mean, I never really hung out with any spouse. I think I went to one of those in-person meetings, like I said. I think it was a therapy session or something, because they were all spouses were, like, depressed. Almost all of them. I think it's because, of course, they were in a DI field. Their husbands were. And they were talking about how bad it was. I was like, oh, boy. So that was my first week. And I was like,
I shouldn't laugh.
That was good for me.
No, and that also, like, that kind of stinks, though, too, because at least, like, they have that support network. And it sounds like the males don't really.
Well, we're just supposed to be A-OK. That's what we're supposed to be, because we're male. They're like, oh, you should be fine. Just suck it up.
Which, that's a whole entire, another sexist.
Yeah. Psychological. It really is.
And that's just...
I mean, I never doubted her. I think it's just me personally. You know, I don't take it out on her. I wouldn't, if I was never active, that's just me personally. But being active, I know that service becomes before self. So her job comes first before I do. And I'm okay with that, because military, if she doesn't go to work or doesn't, if she call her in and we're out at dinner, I can't tell her no. You know, I know she has to go.
And I think that's something that's really hard to talk about, too, is, like, the Marine Corps is notoriously bad for this. I remember when I was in her early age in the Marine, like, early in, I decided very quickly that I was not going to stay in because of how the Marine Corps itself treats families. Because they're like, oh, we're all part of the family. I'm sure you've heard that story multiple times. Like, yeah. You're part of the Marine Corps family. And it's like, Marine Corps is mission first. And the thing is it really is mission first. I don't want to say the Marine Corps doesn't
we're
care
not
about your
part
family.
Of the mission.
Yeah, you're not part of the mission. Like, that's where the joke if the Marine Corps wanted you to have a spouse, they would issue you one. Like, that's kind of the truth. There's a point where it's like, I remember so many people talking about that they had young kids and stuff. And, like, there was another guy, I can't remember his name right now. I was attached to him on another augmented unit, and me and him had gone to, like, 29 Palms. Like, this is my third time going to 29 Palms. This was, like, his fourth. I've been there 4 times myself, and they like to send the same ones of us out there for the training. But, like, me and him were talking, because we're, like, we joke around, call ourselves field rats, because we spend more time in the field than our own bunk in the military. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's one thing for me to do it because I'm single. That's one thing. Yeah. Like, I don't have a wife, I don't have kids. Like, it's, for me, it's just a nuisance. But they're doing this to married people. And just, like, he's like, if you think about it, if I've spent more time in the field than my own bunk, and he's in the same boat, he's probably barely ever gets to see his kids, barely gets to see his wife. And he even says at a point in time, it's just like, he's like, there, he used to say, like, every time he's like, anyone has a family, like, you're gonna have to, like, have this point where you have to decide which is more important. And he goes, like, right now I can't make that decision, but, like, that's the thing. And I'm not saying people that choose the military career over their family, like, that their family isn't important, because some people are doing it for their family, because she's gonna be able to retire at an early age and spend all the time that she wants with you. But
she's gonna have to get back to work.
I can't have you around the house. I'm used to you not being
I really am.
But no, it is a that is a situation, and that is a good thing that like you're able to cope without her being there, because some people in relationships, and this isn't a knock on other people's relationships, just everyone's relationship is different. If you're a person that wants to be around your spouse 24/7, military life is not for you. Yeah, that this is
no matter what job you choose. I mean, because most jobs get deployed and you can't tell them, oh, I can't. My wife said no, or my spouse said no. They're like, oh, we don't care.
Yeah, it's. And here's the thing.
They're pregnant. I don't care.
Well, even if you're in the military and pregnant, they don't really care. Like, you get some time off. And there was a really interesting conversation I had. I missed a sergeant major's meeting, because the sergeant major in the Marine Corps and the commandant, which are like the highest ranking people in the military, came to. To your point, and like, you have certain people that will get to go over there and ask questions. And here was something that like I never realized as like part of male privilege, because like you or I can't get pregnant. It's just not a thing. And this woman asked the question to the sergeant major of the Marine Corps, because some people ask like really stupid questions to the sergeant major because they just want to get a coin, but she made a question that I would never have conceived of. And she asked the sergeant major, why is it when I gave birth, I got 4 months to acclimate? Like, I got 4 months to like handle. But if you're like, the weird sad thing is if you're the guy and your wife has a kid, you only get like a week and you have to take that out of your leave. Yeah, like it's, you don't get like a full time, you don't get parental leave, which is a meta thing. But they said like when she had a miscarriage and they only gave her 4 days.
Oof.
And that's like military standard. 4 months if the child lives, 4 days if the child dies. And that's just not enough. Like that is, like, I can't even imagine what that's like, but it's just
4 days is definitely not enough. Not even close. And
like, that's
for a male either. I mean,
you just lost a child. Like, that is, I'm hoping they change the policy. And it might have been something, it might not have been 4 days, but it was definitely like shorter. Like, it was like something, like when she said it was, like, everyone's like, oh my, like, how is that? And these are things that you don't even think about. So it's, there are some crazy things that, like, it is nice in the military that you don't have to worry about healthcare, because the military has.
We had a big problem in the Air Force about it was mostly my career field, like committed suicide, active duty members. And to know that the spouse does not get the $400,000 if the person commits suicide. So if they do, they happened while I was in the field, they came out and talked to us. The family came and we donated money to the family because she gets nothing.
See, and that's like the whole, because the definition is what he's talking about is like, if the death is military related, then you get the $400,000. In the U.S., like, that's a weird insurance thing that, like, some states, I think, it even used to say that committing suicide, like, attempting suicide is not a crime, but committing suicide is a felony punishable by death in, like, one state because they want to not pay insurance, which is strange, but the military does the same thing. And, like, the thing is, when they say, it has to be a military related death.
Isn't it though?
Why did it? Like, this is a highly stressful job. Like, you're away from your family. Like, you're this. And it's like, and they don't give proper mental health care.
Oh, like, the military doesn't. They say they do. They say, we offer it. But when you do, you get looked at with a different stigma. Like, you go to counseling.
Then you get put on suicide watch and they take away a rifle and you can't do your job. And
especially my job was MP. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you get kicked out.
Exactly.
They kick you out.
Like, they're.
Like, I don't want to lose my job.
Like, that's the thing, is like, their counseling is to get rid of you. They get to feel better. You don't, but the military gets to feel better. Yeah, but they treat you as like a cancerous cell, is like the best way to say it. Like, they just destroy you. But like, that's like, that's a thing that people don't think about either, is like, and that stigma is real. Episode 6 of this podcast with Chris Rossi, we talk about that, because he talked about being in Army infantry and he went to go see counselors and he had to hide it from his chain of command because he didn't want them to treat him differently. And it just like,
they would have.
Yeah, because he's seen it happen to other people, and it's like, and he's like, I'm not suicidal. I just have bad thoughts, and like, my brain can't calm things. And you ask anyone that's in the military, have you thought of suicide? And it's just like, 9 times out of 10, like, everyone's gonna say, I've had a thought of suicide. Yes, this is a high stress job. Does that make you suicidal? No. Like, I've had thoughts of suicide while I was in the military, and it's just because, like, and there's a weird thing about it too. Like, and also the military suicidal awareness courses are, I'll be honest, they're bullshit.
Every year. Ours is just a PowerPoint. You just click through it.
Well, the worst thing is, when you're talking about suicide, it's like one thing that bothers me, and this is a whole other episode I could go on to it, but they always say there's always a sign for suicide. But every person I know that committed suicide, there wasn't a single sign. Because if you want to commit suicide, you're going to do it.
Look at the big celebrities that did it. You're like, you would never. It was like,
and they have paparazzi on them 24/7. Like,
the happiest guy. He looked like he was so happy.
Yeah, Robin Williams.
Like, that's happening now. Like, in the military, the guy I trained with in boot camp, he committed suicide. I was like, he was the happiest person ever. He was the how do you say, like, in the boot camp, in Marine Corps, you have someone who's highly motivated.
Yeah.
Like, very
motivator.
we had one at the gate, a gate guard like that. He was so happy to see you. He remembered your names. I mean, like, would talk to you. I was like, what are you talking to me for? What MP tells you, how's your day? Oh, that's nice. What do you do? This was like, me and the lifeguards were like, wow, keep it going. Like, don't change. Please stay you. The Marine Corps is going to challenge you. You're still.
It's going to break you.
Yeah. She was like, don't let it change you.
And like, that's the thing is it does change a lot of people. And like, it goes back to how you and I were talking about, I think a lot of how I changed because I had to adapt to the whole entire mentality. Like, this weird thing about the Marine Corps is the Marine Corps doesn't have a lot of Northerners. It's a lot of Southerners. And it's a lot of Southerners.
You can't do it now, but Confederate flag, can't do that on base anymore.
There's so many strange. And that's like a funny thing, living here in the UK, everyone thinks I'm Canadian because I don't speak with a Bostonian accent. And people wonder why. It's like, I was in the South. People can't understand. They don't know what WADA is. They don't know what a BA is. When I say, so what's your name? My name's George. What? George. Like,
they where don't. Where are you from?
Boston.
But like UK Boston?
Well, this is when I was in the South. But yeah, there's a UK Boston. Yep. And people think I'm from there. And I'm like, most people here think I'm Canadian, though, which I find hilarious. I just like, oh, like, yeah, Tim Hortons and all that. Like, I can't root for the Canucks because I'm a Bruins fan. So like, that just hurts my soul. I could never do that.
Yeah. I like Canada, though. I don't mind.
I know that. Live there. But no, that's. No, that is a really good point about the suicide thing and like how like the benefits go. And it's also strange too, because like after people do die, you get the great funeral and stuff like that, but
that's it.
Like,
bye.
Yeah, you were part of the family, but like
not anymore, you're not.
Because like veterans get treated like shit in the US, but they never talk about like the Gold Star moms or the families.
VA.
I will say the VA. The VA does
they help you out.
I worked within the VA, and the problem with the VA is, like, this is another thing, though, is, like, if you have a spouse or you're in the military, and I've talked about this before, learn your benefits. The benefits are confusing. SEPs and TAPs does not know what the hell they're talking about. Like, they knew what they were talking about 5 years ago. They're just out of date, which is the best way to say it. But the problem is...
It's all online.
Was it?
It's online. You can go to, like, e-benefits and stuff, and it tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it's gotten better now. But the problem is, with a lot of that, is that the VA does its best what it can with the limited resources it has. Like, that's one of the problems. They're taking care of a lot of people with very little. Like, that's the one problem. But for spouses, it's very difficult. And, like, one thing that is a problem, too, if you're a military spouse, and you're, like, I used to work this as, I was a VA education helper. Like, I was a work study, but I worked in a college. So I learned all my benefits this way, but like, it really is horrible too, because I have so many spouses trying to come in, trying to do the benefits for their husbands or what, like, or their children or something like that. And I can't do the stuff for the spouse. Like, the VA doesn't let you, the veteran themselves has to be there, but the veteran themselves, it's like this weird thing with vets. I don't say it's weird, but just like, I'm sure you've seen this and they dealt with it. If a veteran doesn't understand what they're doing, they don't want to go and do it because they don't want to seem weak. In some ways, like, this isn't all of them.
You just don't want to seem like you don't know what you're doing.
You don't
know what I'm doing.
Like, there's so many arguments too with like SEPs and TAPs. Like, people would be like, SEPs and TAPs, somebody could do this. I'm like, they lied to you, but they don't think I'm lying to them because, like, no, SEPs and TAPs said this. And it's like, I have the handbook in front of me. That is wrong. And it causes a lot of confusion. So, like, that's a huge thing for a spouse, is like, not just getting prepared. Like, it's, one, it's a journey of getting prepared before married life, it sounds like. But after, like, and then you become a veteran spouse, that's a whole nother battle. The battle does not end.
It's still hard now, trying to figure out how to use TRICARE. They don't tell you how to use TRICARE. They don't tell you. They give you the dependent ID card, and they say, all right. I was so confused. I had to call, I don't know how many different numbers, because, you know, TRICARE has TRICARE West, TRICARE East, and I think it's Midwest TRICARE or something. You have to call different numbers for whatever state you're living in. And I had to figure out how to use my TRICARE. I still don't know how to use it. I went to a clinic for something, dermatologist, and I gave him, went back in my card, it was a little benefits ID number. He's like, oh, that's all you need to give. Okay. 3 months later, oh, you owe us $300 now. I was like, TRICARE? It's like, I never got back. I'd paid. I was like, I don't care. I don't have the time to fight with TRICARE about something that they should cover.
It's a confusing.
I still don't know. If I go somewhere, I'm like, do you guys take TRICARE? And I tell them, make sure it goes through before you give me anything, because I don't want to pay out of pocket.
Yeah, and that's the, and you're talking about TRICARE, which is a mess. The other thing I'm trying to think about, we're talking about children, which I know you don't have children, but could you imagine trying to like get your kid into a good college if they're a military child? Because think about how many times they transfer schools to different states. And like, any of my European listeners that don't listen to this, the education requirements from state to state vary. Like, the qualifications I need to graduate from Massachusetts are different than you from Maryland or for like everything else. And just like, like I had to take
pretty low.
We have to take the MCAS and you have to prepare your entire life to take the MCAS. If you don't pass the MCAS, like you can't really graduate. It's the Massachusetts standardized classic test. Like you have the FCAT in Florida and like other stuff, but like you're transferring from state to state to state. And like in the UK and like other countries, they might have a more like centralized education system. But like what I learned in first grade is probably different than what you learn in first grade. And also we learn different history. Like I was taught the Civil War. I have friends from the South, from like the South that were taught the War of Northern Aggression. Same thing, but the history is taught differently. And I know a lot about my Massachusetts history, and we learned a lot about the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the founding of Boston and the Salem Witch Trials. In Texas, they probably learned a lot more about the Texas Revolution than we do. California probably knows a lot more about the Bear Republic than we do. Like in there is a variance of education that like if you're moving, and there are bases in Massachusetts, there are bases in South Carolina, there's bases in California, there's bases in North Carolina, there's bases in Texas and Alaska and all this. And it's like some bases have their own schools. The one in Havelock, you go to the local Havelock school your kids were sent to. And like
you have one here.
You have one on base?
Laurel Bay has one.
So it's
nice.
But it's just something I always just think about as a spouse. I never really thought about that until you talked about like trying to get the fusion of TRICARE. I'm like, imagine the education qualifications at that point.
Just having kids in the military, think about that. We were like, we can't. I don't want to put them through that because it can, if you don't do it right, it can mess up a kid moving back and forth with his friends. Never has a good friendship with, you might have a friend for a couple of years and then never see him again.
Well, it's also like kind of strange too. It's like you and Alexis were high school sweethearts, right? You said that?
Yeah.
Imagine like if your parents made you move to high schools like halfway through the year, like you probably
Nope, never would happen.
Like I'm thinking of my best friends, like one of my best friends I met in the Marine Corps, my other best friend I've known since we were in middle school. Like me and him have known each other for years, and it's just like that's kind of strange. Like you're basically altering. One, there are advantages because you get to move around. Like you could move to Germany or Japan, and like those are probably amazing opportunities for the children. Like I have some friends that have children in the military, and like their kids love the opportunity because like they get to see all these places and learn these languages and learn new cultures. But that you have to be, I think that's also kind of a luck of a draw because it just as easily going from Hawaii to Japan to Germany, you could be sent to
29 pounds.
Then straight to Oklahoma. Like I want Okinawa. You go to Oklahoma.
There's nothing but straight flat land. You're like, this sucks.
And that's the interesting thing because it is the luck of the draw where you get sent. So she did get orders to Oki?
Not yet, but she put in for as a number one choice, and they always want people to go to Oki because nobody wants to go.
Well, I heard there might be closing Oki and then they open up the base in Australia.
I didn't hear that, but let's hope not.
The Okinawans, if people don't know, Okinawans do not like Marines, but that goes. And they have good reason not to. That's a whole nother social toxic masculinity topic of like, yeah, there's certain places like.
Yeah, the hate is much.
Deserved.
Understandable. Once you read it, you're like, wow, I don't know how they even let us stay there. But they like Americans, though. Like
They like Americans, just not Marines.
Yeah, don't. Don't wear your uniform. Grab that haircut, like, you know, high and tight. They're like, oh, we know who you are.
Yeah, it's and that's actually, it's not, and that's another strange thing, too. Like, I know you're aware of this, but I think that might be a culture shock for a lot of people that marry into the military is the townies, like the people that are from the town, like Havelock or Jacksonville. What base were you?
Patrick Air Force Base.
So, did you have a military town, like a town that would disappear if the base would disappear?
My base is so weird.
But like, I'm sure you had those people that they wanted the military personnel's money, but they didn't want you there.
Cocoa Beach, probably small little, I think Merritt Island. I would say so, yeah. Cocoa Beach mostly because it was just for surfers. And then we came and the like housing developments, restaurants, and more came up and it wasn't for us.
No, like that's the strange thing too, though, is like you also have... So, like, the military is also, like, a big melting pot, too, because it brings people from all around the world, like, all around the country to a single place. And then, I'm not trying to be, like, rude to certain areas, but, like, Americans are very biased towards other Americans. Certain places in the South don't like you if you're a Northerner. And I'll be honest, if you're in certain places in the North and you have a Southern accent, they are probably not going to be your closest friend. Like, there are...
Depends on how thick that accent is.
Yeah, like there's misconceptions and stereotypes thrown around. But it is strange with military bases too, because you have what we call military towns. And like there are, like Jacksonville, North Carolina, like you've probably been to Jacksonville, I'm sure, when you went to visit Alexis. That is literally a town. If Camp Lejeune disappeared, that city would dry up in a second. Like, there's no industry there besides the military. But it's strange because they get, like, really annoyed about the Marines. But their entire income comes from us.
Paris Island.
I feel like Paris Island disappeared. Like, the town, what is the town? Beaufort? Yeah.
Well, they stopped having families come for graduation, so they're hurting.
Yeah.
They come every 3 weeks? Every 2 weeks? There's one week, there's no graduation.
They probably love that 1 week. But yeah, the truth is, like, there's so many hotels and restaurants out there.
Oh, yeah, downtown Beaufort was just a strip of restaurants and shops. They're so bad hurting. We go to a little pizza place. He's like, we don't get that much at all anymore. It's pretty bad. I feel bad for him, even being open during this time of COVID.
Well, the truth, the lucky thing, though, is that at least it's one of those industries, once COVID goes away, if it ever does, because it might be the new normal, but once the vaccines and stuff hopefully work, life for them will go back to normal, which other businesses aren't going to be as fortunate.
Yeah, one that didn't make it.
Yeah, because like, but it's going to be an interesting time for that. But I was going to leave an open up for like anyone listening, if anyone had a question for Daniel, but I'll leave that open for that. Until that, did you have any other thoughts before we close out?
I could think of, since we're here, we live near her, my wife's sister's, where they live. They live like 10 minutes away from us. So it's her sister and her sister's husband. That's been nice to help and have someone, like a relative, someone in the family that's this close to us. It's been really helpful. I mean, it's someone to spend the holidays with when she's at work.
No, that is actually nice. That's another thing you really don't think about so much is having just a relative nearby. Like, I used to get so, it kind of stunk when I was in schoolhouse because I had two roommates in schoolhouse. Schoolhouse is when I was doing the training for electrical engineer. I was stationed in Camp Lejeune for my schoolhouse at a little place called Courthouse Bay, which we likely lovingly called Outhouse Bay. But both my roommates grew up an hour away from Jacksonville. Ooh. So like on the weekends, they would just take off.
Yeah,
that's nice for them.
But
it would also be kind of nice for me because I would have the. But at other points, like I was kind of lucky too because like there'd be complete weekends where I have the entire barracks room to myself, which I shouldn't. That, yeah.
Thank goodness.
Like that wouldn't be bad. But no, it was all right. But they were always like home every weekend, and it's like I kind of got jealous of them. At the same point, like looking back, and I'm like, I lucked out because like other guys, both their roommates were stuck at the hotel. Like I at least had me time. But
because you guys have roommates, man. In the Air Force, we don't have roommates. We have.
Oh, I'm so sorry for you.
We shared a bathroom and a shower.
So my base. So that one was 3 men to 1 bathroom. The barracks that like the one that like Alexis lived in, 2 people per room, and you shared the bath, one toilet and 1 shower for 4 people. In 2 different rooms.
No.
Yes, it was nice when you become a corporal though or a sergeant because then you get a room to yourself. But you could be sharing with...
E2, E1 had a room.
Yeah, but you guys leave the barracks at E4. Like, we get a room to ourselves at E4 if we're lucky. But this is one of the reasons why we talk about why people get married so young in the Marine Corps, because they just want the house. They want their own space.
Oh, yeah. It does sound so much better. You're like, I get BH, I get paid more, I can live with the person that I like, and I have to be to do field day. Well, I don't have that in the Air Force.
Yeah. Well, field day, talk about on Thursday, we
inspect.
Us NCOs inspect the lower scrub. And when we talk about clean, like, oh, the guy vacuumed and dusted. Like, oh, no, you're moving stuff.
No.
Like, oh, you're.
You had to, like, take out the drawers and clean. She's telling me about her field days. I was like, don't want to do that.
Well, it's also black mold is a plague in Marine Corps barracks. If you don't do that, like, the way that they build these barracks, I remember I went away for a leave. I took 2 weeks of leave, and my roommate at the same time was in the field for 4 weeks. So no one was in our barracks room for like a period of 2 weeks. And I remember I came home on a Friday on leave, and I checked in because it's always the smartest thing to check in on a Friday because that means you get the next 2 days off anyways. So I checked in on a Friday, and I literally just checked in with the duty, signed in. I'm like, yeah, I'm back, whatever. Threw my uniform back on, checked in with, I literally just sat down with my staff sergeant and like he called me in and like we're going over stuff like, cause he was like briefing me cause we're getting ready for a field day or like a field op or something. And I remember I was just in the office with the staff sergeant, standing in front of his desk, and all of a sudden we're talking about this and this, and he's telling me that like I'm doing this operation, and all of a sudden like gunnery sergeant, who was our first sergeant, wanted me, and I'm like, okay, is this something to do with the field op that's coming? Go in there, and he comes in there yelling at, like, not yelling at me, but just like, so you're on the list for the rooms that, like, failed field day, like, what do you have to say for yourself? I just got back, like, I just checked in. Like, I literally just landed, like, not, like, 3 hours ago. Like, I literally just got home. And I showed him, like, my plane ticket. Like, I'm gone. It's like, what about your roommate? And it's like, my roommate's been in the field for a month. And, like, we went in there in the room. And, like, the beds were made and everything was, like, how we left it. Because we field day before me and him did our stuff. And, like, everything, it was just covered in dust. And we opened up the bathroom because, like, my roommates were gone for the, like, the guys I shared the bath with. I think we're in the field, too. And you opened up the bathroom because there's no windows there. And no one ever turned the light on. So if you don't turn the light on, the vent's not on. And there's, like, black mold and, like, stuff just for 2 weeks of not living in there. And, like, that's... Because, like, I understand why they failed us. But, yeah, like, no one's been here. So, like, I spent my weekend cleaning that, like, the bathroom and that. Like, I didn't really care because it's not anyone's fault. But, like, I got yelled at for it and just, like...
Yeah, but, I mean, they should realize that you were gone. It's like, okay, well, you can't do anything about it. I mean,
but the scary thing is, though, just think about 2 weeks of, like, not being in a place and it gets that dirty with no one being in there. Because all the vent, we didn't turn our vents on, so everyone else has their vents on, and it's just shooting the stuff into our room. So it's everyone else's dust and hair. And
of course, you got to clean it, yeah.
Yeah, because we didn't have because it should shoot out, but just the way that they built those things back in the day, and they haven't upgraded. So when she gets crazy on field day, like, that's the reason why. It's not necessarily that, like, people themselves are disgusting. It's just the buildings are not built for us.
Yeah, we had that way, the rooms and then the bathroom in the middle. Yeah, we had that too.
And it's always the worst one. Like, sorry, I just remembered so many stories of just, like, coming back on a Saturday, like, waking up on a Sunday, and then, like, having period stories of someone, like, trying to, like, drag their, like, headmate in back into their room because they're, like, passed out in front of the toilet, sharing bathrooms with people.
I never had that.
You weren't in the Marines, quiet roommate. But I think, unless you have any last minute thoughts or anything, I think we can end it here.
Yeah. Yes, I was going to say something about if anybody is a spouse or is going to be a spouse of a military member, just know that you should probably do therapy together. That way he can talk to you about his how his work schedule is and how he's going to be stressed out. He probably doesn't show it. Most people don't show that they're stressed from work, but they're, like, way more stressed than you would be as a civilian who has no experience. Just know it's not easy, and you got to be there for him.
Yeah, there's so many times, like, depending on the branch, like, it's not uncommon for, like, people to get screamed at work. And I mean, like, screamed at top their lungs. We call it, like, an ash chewing, but, like, it, threatened. Like...
paperwork.
Oh, there's, like,
it's a career, and you don't want to lose it.
Yeah, it's a career, and it's also, like, if you don't do your job, you can go to the brig for very, like, the military doesn't do stuff. Like, if someone throws away someone else's mail, they will throw you in the jet, like, brig. Like, I've known that for an experience. Like, that happened to someone. Someone threw someone else's mail thing, and they found it. Fall asleep on post. You can lose rank really quickly. The units can ground you with, like, NJPs. Yeah. Like, you can get grounded, lose rank, get half pay, and you can't leave the barracks without supervision.
Yep.
And you can be married and that happen. Just know, like, if you get married, like, you're what you would think of being... There's nothing private in the military. Like, you think what happens in your house stays in your house. It won't. Just get used to that. They're in the military first. They're your spouse second. It sounds horrible saying that, but it's the truth.
It's not to scare you, though, but, like, it's going to be a challenge. It's not a normal marriage. You're going to be married to your spouse and the military at the same time until leave.
Your spouse becomes your mistress is the best way to...
You agree to it. Yeah, they sign it down the line. They military first, then you. If you try to take the enemy first, they will show you why you shouldn't do that. And we have people do that. They just left. They got NJP'd or what's the dishonorable discharge because they left. Oh. They didn't show up to work.
Yeah, like, or other than honorable. And then you lose all those benefits that you worked so hard to get. It's not... If you're thinking, like, if you're, like, a young man or a young woman getting ready to marry, like, your high school sweetheart that's about to join the military and you binge watch Army Wives, you are not prepared.
Yeah, that's not... They need army spouses or the not army wives, but army husbands. That'd be should invest in that one.
Yeah, weird. That is an interesting show, but, like, that is not how it is to be a real spouse. Like,
yeah,
and, like, I'm not even a spouse. It's just, like, stuff they're doing like that. Like, the houses aren't that nice. People aren't going to be home at 4 o'clock on the dot. Like, they're not. Like, that's not. Your spouse will be up at 4 o'clock in the morning getting ready to go to PT, and they could be like the truth is like they may not know when they're going to go home because, like, if something happens, there's been weeks where I worked and this is everyone, the married and non-married Marines, where we're there at the office at, well, in the shop at 4 o'clock in the morning. We don't leave till 10 o'clock at night. And then we're back there again at like 5 o'clock the next morning. Like it's,
if when are you coming inspection, home? When are you going to spend time with me?
Well, we had plans. Like don't make plans. Don't make my plan 6 months in advance. Like you try and do that and you're going
to
have
leave. Yeah. To get planned.
And don't guarantee, like, just because like, oh, it's Christmas and everyone gets leave. Not everyone gets leave.
No.
And it's like also like there's a weird invite too, where like I always like figure this out. Like I used to take leave a lot during Christmas because it's like I want to be home with my family, but sometimes like I would make sure I don't take leave on a Christmas break. So like the married people can go home and like their kids can see grandma and grandpa. But also if you're married and like you get leave denied, like also still try and think about the single people. Because like we don't go home to our families.
Yeah, you stay at work. I don't stay at home base on a holiday all alone.
Yeah, so there is a balance there. And it's just like, do be aware of stuff like that. And it's, but no, you're right. Seek counseling, talk to other married people, and also just be aware of yourself. There's some weird things that happen in the military, because like you have, I'm sure you saw this at boot camp, you'll have the big fish in the little town. Like this guy was the quarterback at his hometown football field and like hometown, and all of a sudden he's in the boot camp and now he's a small fish in a larger pond. But you'll have that situation too where it's just like, really know your spouse, because like this is going to sound like a weird psychological thing, but like just because you and your significant other were the best fit from where you're from, and then you drop them into a bigger pool, like you're talking about bringing a country person to the city, they might find someone that's a better fit for them. And it's,
yeah,
there are issues like that in the military. Like I'm not trying to say people are, but like humans are humans and stuff happens. And like I'm not trying to like talk like, oh, people cheat and stuff like that, but it happens when you're young like that. And I think that's the main thing. It's not that like all people are cheaters or anything like that, but when you're 17 and you get married and you haven't really discovered yourself, never mind, how can you know who you're going to spend the rest of your life with if you don't know
love
yourself?
Someone
it's a you can't love yourself, you can't love someone else, you love yourself either. And
oh, that's that program the Marine Corps has, the 5 languages of love.
Yeah,
and then they have that military spouse thing where they pay for a vacation for you guys.
I didn't know about this.
Do that, because they'll take you to places, they get you drunk free of charge, they pay for everything. It's on the Marine Corps dime. So
that sounds amazing.
I what it's called. It's during Valentine's or in February. I can't remember the name. She taught, her sister does it all the time, and they love it. You have to go to like a three hour session, talk about marriage. You know, how to stay together, tips and stuff like that. And then they say, all right, you're free to go. Enjoy your time. Go get drunk. Do what you want.
Yeah, and that's super important as well, just because of the fact that when you're dealing with situations like that, your mental health, like the military is always good about keeping your physical health up, but mental health is a huge thing. And it's not just, and if you aren't having, if you're having issues at home, that's only going to compound your stresses. Like
especially
it's,
at work too.
Yeah, especially at work. Because if you're having issues at home and you go to work, you don't leave that at work. Like at home, like it's coming home with you, with lost sleep.
And, yeah.
And then I'm not trying to tell the spouses, like, you have to be better spouses so your husband can go, like, no, like,
no.
It's a partnership. But you need to be aware of these things. And, like, the military doesn't care. I'm just going to put it out. They claim to, but they don't.
I never met a single commander that was like, yeah, we understand. No, they got a job to do.
They got a job. And, like, the worst part is, too, sometimes it's like, you'll have some good, I've had good staff NCOs that seem to, like, really know what was going on and be very accommodating. But, like, other people, too, like, just have had bad relationships in the military, and therefore like they get married to the job, and like if that's your senior and stuff like that, they might not go there because they just might assume that your marriage is going to fail. We're getting into like really dark, like we're not trying to paint pictures or say stereotypes or anything like this, but like you're gonna meet individuals in the military that you would meet nowhere else, and like mentalities of
I've met some crazy marriages and I was like, that is not gonna be us.
And like that's the thing about it. And you also have to remember, like, it sounds like Alexis is going to be a lifer, and like you're prepared for that. And for those that know what a lifer means, you're going to go for your full 20 years and retire, but like also she's gonna be retired at 38, so can't really
but she has to go back to work though.
you can't have her messing up your house that you just cleaned.
Can't have her messing up my way of life here.
But no, dude, that's some really good advice. And it seems like we're bouncing around a lot and talking about certain things. And yeah, we did talk a lot about like our experiences in the military, but it does explain why people get married early. It does explain why this, and not that we're justifying it. I've seen some people, and like, I'm not saying just because you got married at 18, it's not going to work out. Like, I have friends that got married at 18, and they're still with the people that they married and having a great relationship. But just
if you have any doubts at 18,
if I met my 18-year-old self, which is 10 years ago, I would smack him around so much for being an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, you were going to, like, you were so stupid. Like, I can't even imagine.
I still
like,
choose my wife, but.
Was that?
I would still choose Alexis back if I went back then, but my career choice definitely would have changed. But not done security for it.
But also the good thing too is like I'm saying, like yeah, you did marry your high school sweetheart, but you didn't marry her also out of high school either. You guys waited.
Oh no,
like 4 or 5 years.
So 2014. I joined in 2010, so 4 years after I was in the military.
So yeah, you guys had a full enlistment under your belt,
yeah.
Which I think that's a good. Because you knew what the military life was going to be. She knew what military life was going to entail.
We knew.
You knew what you were walking into, and I think that's a good starting point. But like, it's just like when you, and also don't be the person that goes home and like this is the thing. Don't be the person that goes home on 2 weeks of leave, meets a girl, 6 months later goes back, gets married, and bring away. Like, don't be that dude. Like, don't or that woman
that does that marries strippers. Is that the? They go to a strip club and marry a stripper. So I had someone do that.
That's a common stereotype of Marines. I'm not saying it's wrong.
He lost a lot. He lost his car because she got divorced. She took half because where they got married was a no-fault state. The no-fault state means half and half.
And like, hey, if you like, I'm not. This we're also not like degrading strippers. Like, you need to pay the bills.
Oh no, but doesn't know her. He just met her.
Yeah,
that's like you're not gonna meet someone at a bar and get married. The reason why he married her probably for the BH.
Yeah,
I wanted to get out.
And he's like, oh, she's beautiful or something like that. It's like, just don't.
The first girl
I'm guessing he was like 19 or 20 when he did this. Yeah, don't.
It's the first girl that showed him real affection. He's like, I like this. I'm going to marry this. And then she's like, okay. And doesn't work out because they don't know each other.
No, and like that's the thing. It's like, you can't just jump into something. This isn't the 1720s. Like, this isn't.
Once you get married, it's it.
Well, it's just that. It's just like, also, like, you make it work at those points just because, like, it was a different time, like just was. And that's the problem with like a lot of stuff we're talking about and a lot of the issues we're talking about socially and economically is like we joke around saying it's not like the 1820s or stuff like that, but a lot of the laws that dictate marriage and marriage rights and laws were probably written back in like the 1850s.
Oh yeah.
Like there is.
Have you seen the marriage license? It's pretty outdated.
Like the laws of marriage by the military, it's very much like the idea that you're in a reverse role right now, but the fact that your actions reflect on Alexis very much goes back to the times of like when your wife was property and her actions reflected upon you. It is kind of funny now that it's flipped, but like it's just a weird concept that your actions reflect upon someone else because technically under that law, it's just like you're her property.
Yep.
Like that's and that's
strange to look at it, but
that's kind of how the law was written though. Like they're treating you like, yeah, if your child does something, that's your problem. That's understandable. Yeah. Like you are responsible for them. You're about to be 30 years old, but if you act up,
she's in trouble.
Yeah, and that's just the thing. It's like just be aware of your actions because like what you don't think's illegal in on base might be. There's some weird laws on base about what's allowed and what's not allowed and what you can get trouble for. You might think it's like this is stupid. It probably is, but they haven't updated the laws since.
All right, she said like I have to wear a belt when I go to the commissary. I was like a belt. She can't wear PT clothes in the commissary?
No, you can't. It has to have... So you can't wear PT shorts. If there's belt loops on your pants, you have to have a belt. So if you're wearing jeans and they don't have belt loops, you can get away with it.
I don't do that. I just wear what I want to wear.
Well, yeah, but like you're...
Well, she's like, when I got here, she's like, you have to. And you have to shave. I was like, I am not doing any of that.
Yeah, if I showed up like the PX, like the way that I'm dressed, like you would never guess that I used to be a Marine by this and all of this on top of my head. But yeah, if I showed up like this, like
I get weird looks sometimes. But like,
what's that?
Like I get weird looks. Like, have you not shaved? Why is your hair out of reg? I'm like, I am not part of this anymore, sir.
But they find it so strange when that happens. Like, I really do want to just show up on a military base like this one time. Just, like, I hate wearing PT shorts outside of working out anyways, but just, I just want to do that. Just show up in PT shorts and stuff like that and just no shave, long hair.
I have to be relaxed when I go shopping.
Yeah, because you have to snack while you're shopping too. You have to test things, and like you need to make sure you have that extra.
Oh yeah, if you shop on an empty stomach, you buy way too much.
Yeah. So have you been stopped? People thinking that you're like a Marine that like just didn't get a haircut or a shave?
First time here, I think they thought I was, and I was like, no, I'm dependent. Also, when we came to the main gate pretty late, we showed both our IDs upside down, so all you had to do was just scan it. And he said, "Have a good day, sir," or staff sergeant to me. He called me a staff sergeant, and he thought Alexis was Bouse. Which thank goodness she found it was funny.
Oh yeah.
She's like, I'm the staff sergeant. Oh, I was like, what?
And I kind of like that. She's a senior DI as well.
I was like, I'm the staff sergeant now. I mess with her all the time. It was great.
What did you get out? Would you mind if I asked what you got out as?
E4, senior airman in the Air Force.
That used to be a tech sergeant, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Tech sergeant, E6, E5 is staff sergeant.
Which is weird because I was E6 as staff sergeant. Because I got out as an E5 as a sergeant.
So,
You guys mix things up. Like you put staff sergeant in a lower level, and it just remember the first time I had an Air Force.
I still get confused. Staff. Yeah, she's like, "I'm E6." I'm like, "You're a staff sergeant, not a sergeant."
I think the funniest thing I ever had to do is I had to give a briefing one time, and it was a mixture of airmen and marines, and like they're sitting around there. I'm like, and the first thing I said is like, "Look to your left and look to your right. If you don't understand the other branches' ranks, you're fine. They don't understand them either, because like."
What are you?
Because ours is just a bunch of echelons and rockers, and all we see for you is stars and bars, and we have no idea what they mean. And you probably have no, like
we have
you
a
probably
lot.
Know now. Which
we have like 1, 2, 3. Yeah, we have a lot. We can like, the whole shoulder is just covered in a rank.
Because whenever we worked at the Air Force, they just always called us sir. Like they didn't, they could none of the airmen ever knew what the Marine Corps rank. So it's like we're just gonna call you sir. And like we're looking at theirs, like we have no idea what your ranks are either. Like
we're supposed to know these though. And we're supposed to know it. And you know on basic, so when you get out and you're fresh, you're like, oh, I know this.
No, we never learned the Air Force ranks in the Marine Corps boot camp. We learned Navy ranks and Marine Corps ranks, but Marine Corps ranks are very close to Army ranks. Like the symbols are pretty close, but what we call a gunnery sergeant, they call sergeant first class. What we call lance corporal, they call private first class. What we call PS first, they call private second. So like, there's differences, but very easy to switch. And we know Navy because we work with the Navy, but yeah, we don't learn Air Force. So like, the Air Force is just a foreign stars and bars and squiggly lines. That's all we know. Those are.
If they have a lot on their shoulder, on their sleeve, oh, he must be something important. That's all I know. I can't tell Marine Corps sometimes because you guys have that. Camo it, you can't really see.
Well, like, that's the worst thing, too. Like, when you have, like, a master sergeant or a sergeant major you're walking up to, it could be a master sergeant, it could be a master sergeant, it could be a first sergeant, or it could be a sergeant major or a master gunnery sergeant. All I see is a big, giant black blotch, and I can't count how many rockers there are, and you don't know the symbol inside. Like, is that a pineapple in there? Is it a star? Like, what
is that? And they get mad. Like, oh. Like, I can't tell. Like who you are,
especially from a distance, and if you have like, especially when it's on the black on like the green camis, like that.
Yeah,
I have no idea what you
like
are.
Like I can't tell. I'm like, is your on a desert? You can definitely tell because
deserts make it much easier. But when it's just a lot of, when it's those big ones, you're like, I don't.
You're important.
You're important, and I have 4 chances to get this right.
Oh, don't mess this up. Don't mess this up.
Like, I don't feel like getting my ass chewed 5 minutes, please. Just like, but I think I'm gonna end it. I think I'm gonna end the podcast right there. Thank you so much for being on. I hope everyone enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions or you ever want to be on the podcast, feel free to contact me at rightsandwrongspodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the podcast, you can support us at Rights and Wrongs Pod on Patreon or go on the website at rightsandwrongspodcast.com. And there's donations. You can also buy some cool merch, such as the coffee mug I was drinking out of, and we also have like hats and beanies such as this one. So thank you for watching and have a great day, and I hope everyone has learned something today.